Let's look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 42 and think about a few things tonight together. The Word of God said, and they, the church there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Word of God said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Turn over, if you will, to chapter number 4, verse number 32. And the Word of God said, and the multitude of them that were believed, or that believed, were of one heart and of one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to go back and look at some of these things tonight together and talk about the, not only did we, why in the world do we want to go to church, but I want to look at why in the world did they want to go to church in the early church. We were in Hebrews chapter 10, Brother Steve, where the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Pray with me and we'll look at this together tonight. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd make, Lord, the message a blessing, and Lord, in the ears of your people and in their hearts tonight. Lord, I thank you for the church. I'm glad that you bought the church. You paid for the church with your own precious blood. And Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, I'm included in the body of Christ, in the bride, our Father, that will be called home one day after a while. Lord, I think about Brother Cecil, his precious wife. Lord, in the many, many, many years that they've served you together, the many missionaries, our Father, that have been supported because the man of God was faithful and, Lord, had a heart for missions. I praise you, our Father, for the joy and the privilege of knowing Brother Cecil. And I pray, Father, you bless his son. Bless the family, our Father. And Lord, I pray through it all that you'd get glory. Lord, we realize that just a little while, and he that shall come will come. And Lord, there's going to be a great, glad reunion day for the children of God. Help us now tonight, we pray. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's several things here in the text tonight that I'd like to make mention of. First of all, the Word of God said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I wrote down the word faith. Their faith was being increased in those days, not only because of what they were hearing, but also because of what they were seeing. And I believe that it's important to remember in the book of Acts that there are the sign gifts being manifested, and that the Bible said the Jews require a sign. And so there's a transition going in the book of Acts from the Jew to the Gentile. But in that early church, God had given them a great power to see miracles. You remember one of the things that caused some of the persecution was the miracle of the lame man that was healed as Peter and James, went down to the temple to pray. And of course there was a man begging for alms, and Peter told him, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it created a stir among the people. And of course the religious people, the Pharisees of the day, they felt like they were losing their grip. And so they didn't like that, amen. And I'll say this tonight, I'll say it kindly, but it's the truth. Throughout our land, there are churches that are run by this family or that family. And a pastor can go in and God begin to bless it. And that family or two families or three families feel like they're losing their grip on the church. Are you listening to me tonight? And they act like them Pharisees did, amen, in the Word of God. They act like they're on the other side of the gospel. It hadn't ought to be that way. This is not my church. It's not your church. Thank God it's His church, amen. And I believe there's a bunch of people here that realize that. Their faith was increased. And you say, "Preacher, what do you mean their faith?" If you get in the Bible, the doctrine, that's what the Word of God's talking about. In the Word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Many times we only think of the sinner being saved under that verse right there. But faith comes by hearing for you and I too, and hearing by the Word of God. I think it's important to realize that when the disciples, I'm talking, they walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, they rode on the boat with Jesus, they saw the miracles that Jesus did. And there's two things specifically that they ask Him for. "Lord, teach us to pray." I really believe if Jesus walked through those doors and bowed here in this altar, first of all, He wouldn't be done for a long while. Amen. But I believe if we just heard Him pray, that when He finished, we might say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. I believe that. And I believe with all of my heart, the next thing that they asked for, they said, "Lord, increase our faith. We need more." Amen. Listen, it's my opinion that it doesn't matter how far down the road you are with Jesus, you could use an increase in your faith. God help me this afternoon. I got to reading about this early church and reading about their faith and reading about the miracles. And I got a man on my heart. And the only way he's going to make it is if God does a miracle. Well, what's wrong with asking God for a miracle? You say, "Well, preacher, he may not get a miracle." That's true, but what's wrong with asking God in faith for a miracle? God made us, and with one touch, God can heal us. Amen. The pastor's not the healer. You're not the healer. But thank God we have access to the healer tonight, the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their faith was increased. I see in their faith several things tonight. Number one, they were looking for the Savior. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, if you go back over to Acts chapter number 1 with me just a moment, the Word of God said in Acts chapter 1, and long about verse number, I guess it was verse number 6, when therefore they come together, they ask Him, this was Jesus after He rose again, saying, "Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own, in His own power." And then in verse, if you come down in verse number 9, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come again, come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." The Word of God said, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey."
They gathered in the upper room for prayer. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying they didn't get over that. They had a promise from God that this same Jesus, which was taken up, is coming again. And I believe they were looking for him. You say, Pastor, how come you believe they were looking for him? I believe that they thought that his return was imminent. And I believe that's why they went out. If they had a house, they sold it. If they had land, they sold it. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. You know what they realized? We don't need this stuff when he comes. Say amen. I believe in our generation, I got to thinking about this today. I believe if I needed something, God would provide it. But you know how God provides? Through his people. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. I believe if you have faith in God and trust God, I'm not talking about necessarily a Cadillac, but if you need a car, I believe God will help you. Say amen. And God will help me with our needs. The Word of God said he would meet our needs according to his riches and glory. And so they were looking for the Savior. The second thing that I see in their faith is their faith was increased. They stayed in that doctrine as they were looking. Listen to me carefully. The church today ought to be looking for the same thing they were looking for. We ought to be looking for the Savior. Say amen. But secondly, we ought to be looking for souls. I'm telling you, these people were just going everywhere and preaching the Word of God and telling folk, Jesus lives. He's risen from the dead. And I believe that's why that the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe they had their eyes out. Brother Steve mentioned Brother Coulter, and he was telling Miss Eve on the phone a while ago. I was in the shower. He was telling Miss Eve that he had asked us to pray for a lady witness to in Marion, Virginia. That's where I used to work. He told the business where he was. Said, God's dealing with her. She didn't get saved, but God's dealing with her. I say thank God for anybody that's got their eyes open and their heart open and will open their mouth, amen, and share a witness, share a testimony for the glory of God. Have our eyes open and looking out for souls. And then I believe they had not only looking for the Savior, and not only were they looking for souls, but the Word of God said doctrine. They were looking in the Scripture as the apostles were teaching them of the Word of the living God. And I believe that's important tonight, that we ought to be looking out for the Savior, looking out for souls, and looking into the Scripture that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So their faith was increased in the early church. Why in the world did they want to go to church? Because their faith was increased. Listen to me. I mean this tonight. We don't see it much. But every time somebody leaves that pew and comes down here and gets saved, Brother Steve, God increases my faith. God gives me a little bit of strength to want to go on another mile and realize it ain't over. Yes, we don't see it very often, and we don't see them coming to Jesus by the multitudes, but I thank God for one here and one there, don't you, that comes to know the Savior in the free pardon of sin. Can you imagine? I'm talking about in this early church. Can you imagine? I believe there was... The Bible said here, verse number 4 of chapter 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. How'd you like to be in a meeting like that, Brother Steve? Get up and just tell people, Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. And there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shine. He rose again the third day, and 5,000 people will come to Christ. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. As a matter of fact, there's more people than that. That said men. There's 5,000 men. And I've noticed this down through the years, Brother Rick. Most of the time when the man in the house gets right, there'll be some young'uns and a lady behind him saying amen tonight to what they see in Daddy's life. It's a blessing. Their faith was increased. That's why they wanted to go to church. I want to go to church, get my faith increased. Secondly tonight, they went to church because the fellowship was sweet. Look what the Word of God said. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now we have, in this last year, we've gotten to, because of what we've been through with COVID-19, I guess what you call it. Brother John calls it COVID. I don't know why he calls it that, but a lot of things Brother John does, I don't know why he does it, amen. But anyway, we've been through that mess. We've not been able to shake hands the way we once did, hug one another's neck the way we once did. But you know, I believe, listen, even through it all, even what Brother Steve, when you and I would come in here Sunday after Sunday for a while, I know your phone, you'd get texts, you'd get calls. Somebody would call, somebody would text. The message encouraged me. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen. The early church, they understood the need for fellowship with God's people. And I believe with all of my heart, there's a fear in my heart that there's some people today that think they can make it with or without it. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. I believe if you love the Lord, you love His people. And you want to be with His people. And you want to fellowship with His people. I believe in this early church, when they went to church, when they got together, I believe it was sweet. I use the word sweet, and I think about a man. I don't know if you knew him or not. Did anybody know Brother Rightly Salen? Brother Larry, how well did you know him? Pretty good? Did you get around him much? Anybody get around him much at all? I'm going to tell you, Brother Rightly, this way I describe him. He had honey running out of both sides of his mouth all the time. I mean, he lived in the promised land. He'd get up. I told my wife first time I heard him preach, Brother Larry, I said, they can't nobody accuse that man of not preaching the word, because he just put an and between verses. Amen. And quote the Bible and quote the Bible and quote the Bible. And what made it so good was he lived what he preached. Amen. And he loved the Lord. His fellowship was sweet. I let him call me Brother Ricky and never did correct him. Don't you do that, but I let him do that, amen. He'd say, Brother Ricky, amen. And I appreciate Brother Rightly, appreciate Brother Cecil, these men that spin down the road, and I've enjoyed sweet fellowship. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe one of the reasons why to look forward to going to church is because of a fellowship that is sweet. Not only, beloved, did they fellowship around the Word, I believe, and there's two things going on here, I believe, in the Scripture. Look in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I believe right there the breaking of bread is observing the Lord's table. I really do. I'll show you why I believe that. You remember, I said a while ago, they were looking for him to come. What did Jesus say? What did he say when he was giving them the instructions? He said, this do in remembrance of me. He said, when you do this, you're acknowledging, amen, that I'm going to come, that I'm going to come again. And so we see the faith involved in the breaking of bread in verse 42, and then in verse 46, the fellowship involved in the breaking of bread, like in a meal, because where they were going, the Bible said they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I wonder what would happen in a church today if everybody came to church with just one thing on their heart. Wonder what would happen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I believe, listen, we ought to be looking for Him. Don't you? Listening to Him. Obeying Him. Amen. And we would, beloved, I believe, be much better off. And we would understand more of what He would have for us. There's a fellowship that's sweet in this early church. I believe there's something else here that I see. I see a fervent prayer life. You see, preacher, what do you mean? The Word of God said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what I believe God was letting them do in that early church? Is letting them pray, and then he was letting them see their prayers answered. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? What do you remember back over in chapter number 1 where he told them, he said, I want you to, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So what they do? Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. He said, I want you to go into the upper room. I want you to wait until you be endued with power. And I believe they went up there. You can read it right there. The Word of God said in verse number, in chapter number 1, in verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, they not only prayed, but then the day of Pentecost came and they saw their prayers answered. And God, I believe, listen, they didn't just pray once and quit. The Word of God said they continued in the doctrine. They continued to fellowship. They continued to pray. And I believe that's what we need to do today, is just continue in that fervent prayer. The Word of God said, or I believe it was, oh, what book was that? I'm losing it right now. Was it Peter where he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Was it the book of Peter? James? Yes, it's James chapter 5, ain't it, Brother Steve? I believe you're right, brother. Thank you. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God wants us to pray. Pray fervently and pray effectually. And one couple more things tonight, and I'll be done, that I saw here. Why did they want to go to church? There was the faith was increased. There was a fellowship that was sweet. There was fervent prayer being offered in the church. I thought about a lady one time who told the pastor, people gathered in the altar praying out loud, told the pastor on the way out, she said, I don't like that altar prayer. Said, I couldn't understand a word they were saying. And the pastor looked at the lady and said, honey, they weren't talking to you. Amen. I'm glad, listen, we can all talk to the Lord. And he knows what we need even before we ask. Fervent prayer. There was something else in the early church. I believe it's important. The Bible said in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. Let me ask you a question. In the church, in the schools, at the job, on the political scene, where is the fear of God today? Brother Crystal, you're right. But listen to me. I believe in this early church. I might be wrong. I don't believe I am. I believe they're afraid not to go to church. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, not only did they fear the Lord, but they're afraid they'd miss something. There was so much going on, amen. They're afraid they'd miss something. And the Word of God said fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. You see, even in the early church, not everybody feared God. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but if you go to Acts chapter number 5, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife, they sold a possession. They done the right thing there, but then they held back part of it, and they lied about it. I'm going to tell you something right now. If everybody was dropping dead today that was lying, there'd be more fear. Say amen. And the Word of God, you know the story. And He kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You see, there was a, probably, Brother Steve, there were people, you know, when they were doing what they were doing, people were saying, boy, praise God. Maybe there's somebody that was in need. And maybe they were getting that need met. Maybe people were being acknowledged or they were acknowledging the gift. And here, Ananias and Sapphira, they talked about it. We're going to sell it, and we're going to act like we gave it all just like everybody else. But we're going to keep back. What would happen if every... Oh, listen to me tonight. What would happen if every born-again believer that was keeping back that belongs to God was dropping dead today? I believe there'd be a fear, don't you? But listen, God had this early church birth, and God was working, and God wanted them to fear God. And the Bible said, Ananias, hearing those words, he fell down. He gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. That should be a prayer request for our country. We're gone if we don't get it back. Some fella can be involved in child pornography. Look through a peephole. Here comes the FBI. And shoot them down like dogs. That was yesterday, I believe. The police, that movement, if that's what you want to call it, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. They've got their chant going again. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We need a revival of the fear of God. We need it in our homes. We need it in our country. We need it in our churches. We need a revival of the fear of God in our midst. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that we are living in a day when God could help us, but we need to ask Him for the help because we can't handle it on our own. You think about this now. Think about this for just a moment. In the Capitol, they don't trust one another. That means if a man's got a permit to carry a gun, they still want him to go through a metal detector. They're afraid they're going to be shooting at one another up there. And if something don't happen, that's about what's going to happen. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, our safety's not in a metal detector. Our safety's in the Savior. Amen. And the Bible said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. And I believe with all of my heart, there was a fear. The last thing I want to share tonight, my voice is trying to close up on me a little bit, is I saw a favor. The Word of God said in verse number 47, let me read verse 46 again. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to show you something tonight that God spoke to my heart about. In verse number 47, the Bible said the Lord's adding to the church and they have favor with all the people. Now, I want you to think about this tonight. I believe we're living in the same spot right here where we are. I want you to think how quickly that changed. The Word of God, Peter preaches his second sermon in the book of Acts chapter number 3. And look in chapter number 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. What's the next two words? Being grieved. You say, Pastor, I don't know why everybody don't love the church. Beloved, I want you to understand something. When the church is what God wants it to be, somebody's going to be grieved. Somebody's not going to like it. Amen. And the Word of God said over here they found favor with all the people. And how quickly that changed. Being grieved that they taught the people. Let me ask you something. You think there's anybody in America grieved because there's pastors standing in pulpits teaching the people that adultery's wrong? Teaching the people that drunkenness is wrong? Teaching the people that there's only one way to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men. You think anybody's grieved? You think anybody's grieved because there's a pastor standing somewhere teaching his people that marriage is between a man and a woman? That it's not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman? Let me tell you something, right? I'll call this the grievel monitor. It's going up in this generation. We're having to look now at politicians where a man wants to introduce his husband. God help us. I'm just telling you, beloved, mark her down. You stay with this book, stay with this Savior, and stay in this old path, and stay, beloved, listen, with the message of the Word of God. Somebody's going to be grieved. Some are going to be glad, but some are going to be grieved because the truth of the Word of God is going forward. The Bible said he grieved the people, that they taught the people, preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them. They put them in hold till the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. I like that, don't you? They believed. Peter's preaching to them. I'll leave you with this tonight. They wanted to do something about it because they didn't want the message to spread any further. On over in chapter number 4. They called them, they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. I want to say this to you tonight in honor of my dear pastor friend, Brother Cecil. I don't know exactly how many years ago, but I believe it's been 8 or 10 years, the doctor told him, don't preach. You can't. Don't preach anymore. Am I telling it right, Brother Rose? His heart was so bad. I just want to stop and say this tonight. Peter's glad he didn't listen to me tonight. And Brother Cecil's glad that he didn't listen to me tonight. I thought about what a way to go. No doubt the man of God probably described his chest and was gone. Amen. Home. Just that quick. The Word of God said here they threatened Peter. They didn't do nothing but like pour gas on the fire. That early church said, we're just going to continue. We're going to continue in the doctrine. We're going to continue in the faith. Continue to fellowship. Continue in fervent prayer. Continue to fear the Lord. I'm just glad you come tonight. You know what I believe God would say to us tonight? You're on the right road. Just stay on it. Continue. Amen. There's no place to get off. Amen. No place to exit. Just stay in the path. Let God bless us together. Let's come Sunday asking God. Let's pray for those that need a miracle in their life. And ask God. Ask God for a miracle. I want you to know this tonight. Every time somebody's saved, that's the miracle of all miracles. I was praying today for a young man that sits on the pews of our church. I don't know what the holdup is, but I know this. He'll get saved, and it'll be a miracle just like it was when I got saved. It'll be a miracle. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying with us.